That's a good question, and it's something that people debated for a long time, and it deals with a theological term, and I'm already going to jump into the deep end here, called the hypostatic union. You're going, oh, that's not me, I'm leaving, you know, this is too hard already. All that means is how do you describe Jesus being both God and man? You're a man, you're human, right? You wouldn't call yourself God. So it's easy for you to understand who you are by nature. I'm a person, I'm a human, okay, I'm a man. You understand God in the sense that he's God, he's not human, right? And then comes Jesus into the picture, and you're going, wait a minute. Jesus is a man, Jesus is God. How does that work? You know, and how do those intersect? And this is the study that theologians have done for centuries about it's called the hypostatic union, the status of the nature united between God and man in the incarnation of Jesus. And so this is what it deals with, because as you read verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that speak of Jesus' human nature, which he has, he sounds human. I mean, he gets tired, he sleeps, he cries, he laughs, he speaks, he goes from one place to another, so he doesn't just zap somewhere. I mean, he has to use his feet and walk some places. You know, he can feel pain in his body, right? He breathes and feels hunger. And also, it says there, he does not know the day or the hour, the Son of Man in his human nature, okay? But that's not all who Jesus is. If we left it at that and say, well, Jesus was a man. He was a great man, a perfect man. He was a good man. He was the greatest man. He was the man that lived the best life out of all of us, a perfectly righteous life. That would not be complete in talking about Jesus, okay? Because he did not only have the nature of a man, he also had the nature of God in him. And that's, he was God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:15. And so Jesus Christ, that it was God manifest in the flesh. Colossians 2 said he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Godhead being the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was the fullness of God in body form. In the body, okay? And so this is the thing that it's hard for folks to understand. So I can just tell you the conclusion of it, and you can make up your own mind about what you think of it. When you talk about Jesus and his nature, there's no verse that states it. There's no verse that says, well, here it is. Jesus had two natures, and here's what it means. You don't find that. What we find is just verses describing Jesus and his earthly ministry and describing God, and we have to push all those together, and then we spit out a conclusion. Okay, so this is one of those doctrines. It's similar to the Trinity. You don't find the word Trinity in your Bible, okay? But it's a doctrine, a fundamental of Christianity, and it talks about the God is three persons, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You don't find a verse explaining the Trinity. You find verses describing it, like 1 John 5:7, where it says these three are one, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit there. Or when you talk, you find in the Bible where God the Father refers to himself as the only God. And then Jesus Christ refers to himself as the only God. And the Holy Spirit refers to himself as the only God. And so suddenly, you have three different persons describing all themselves as God, but there's only one God. Right? So there's one God and three persons. So this is the conclusion. Whether or not we understand it, that's what the Bible teaches. Okay, and so it's the same thing about Jesus. So we're talking about Jesus. I haven't drawn anything on the board yet. Jesus, he was the same as us and different from us at the same time. He was the same as us in that he was man, fully man. Okay, Hebrews describes that he had temptations. What's Hebrews 4 say? Help me with the verse where it talks about Jesus was without sin, but he knew. Oh, it's escaping me at the moment. Hebrews 3 or 4. I don't have my computer up here anymore. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin, is what the verse talks about. And so the temptation of Jesus has to do with his humanity, right? He was born of a woman. He grew up from a child to an adult. He ate things. He experienced hunger. He experienced this world and all the temptation of sin. He didn't sin, but he participated in all of that, okay? And so his human nature was just like you. There was nothing that you as a person, as a human, know as a person and a human that Jesus did not know, okay? That doesn't mean that, you know, Jesus knew calculus or whatever that means. It's just mean as a person, as a human, what people know, what man knows, as far as I wake up in the morning, I feel hungry. I get tired at night, so I go to sleep, things like this. This is what Jesus knew and experienced. Sin as well. You as a sinful human living in a sin-cursed world faced with bad circumstances, and Jesus knew that as well. And yet, he's different from us. He's the same from us in that he's human. He's different from us in that he's God. You are not. Okay, Jesus was not created out of thin air when he was born of Mary, when he was conceived in Mary. Jesus was not like you, created at a point in time. Okay, before 1980s, you couldn't say Justin Johnson existed. You couldn't say, oh, he's floating around up there like the Mormons teach, and he'll come down and inhabit a body someday. No, I just did not exist at all. Jesus Christ, rather, is eternal. He is God, and so from before the world began, there was what? In the beginning, God. And God was the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three are one. He existed back there. He didn't have a human body. God hadn't created humans yet, but he existed. And so in time, he put on human nature. He always had God nature. Okay, he was always God. He put on humanity, and thus God was manifest in the flesh. Of course, he can't put on humanity until God creates humanity. Right? And so this is the difference between Jesus and you. He's the same as you in that he's a man. He's different than you in that he's also God. Okay? There's the difference. He is both God and man. And the teaching is that Jesus has two natures, which is the essence of the difference here. Okay? You are taught what that means, but you don't experience what that is, because you're not Jesus. Okay? You are taught by God's grace through Paul's epistles that you have two natures, right? You're taught you have an old man and a new man, right? Your old man's in Adam. Your new man is in Christ, right? Your old man is sin. Your new man is life. You're taught this, and this is a dichotomy, okay? So you're taught this idea. But Jesus Christ really did have two natures, okay? He was both God and man. That means he could speak from his divine nature or his human nature. He could operate with his divine nature and human nature. He could speak in either way, either capacity. Okay, Jesus Christ, as the theologians have said, while he was in Mary's womb, could have destroyed the earth and recreated it and everything else. He could have done that as God. Obviously, he had a hard time as a human doing that. You can't do that. No human can do that. And he's a baby. You know, he doesn't have the fingers yet. He can't do it. But as God, he can. Okay? And so with Jesus, there is two natures in him. Why that is significant is because when you're talking about the nature of a thing, like a man or God, what you're doing is describing the attributes of it. You're describing what it is. So you know, when we say, what is a man? What is a person? When God creates man, what are they? Well, we are in time. We're infinite. I mean, we're there's a time where we're born, right? And then we live. Man has the ability to think. Man has the ability to grow. Man has the ability to learn things, right? And this is what describes a man. If you describe something that never learned, never grew, was never born, this would not be a man, right? I could say, well, here's something. What is this thing? And, you know, this thing is hard, and it's square, and it never talks back. It never thinks about anything. And you say, well, that's not a man. It's a book. Right? It's different in nature than what you are. A man is described in this way. God, in the same way, has descriptions. What is God? What is God? Well, God is everywhere. God is spirit. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He's all wise. He's all powerful. This is God. Okay. If you describe something that is not all powerful, that does not know, that is not a spirit, you know, if I picked up this book and said, this is God, you would laugh at me. We know where this book came from. It didn't last forever. Right? God is eternal. And so these things describe God, the divine nature. Now remember, Jesus Christ has both of these. And so you can describe Jesus Christ in either way, depending on which nature you're talking about. Now I told you at the beginning, this is going to be a little harder. And this is because what we're doing here is we're taking all the verses in the Bible that describe Jesus, and we're trying to squish them together and try to make some sense of it. Okay, so what you find in the Bible are verses that describe Jesus Christ, and you're going, well, there's no man that can do that. In fact, it's exactly what his disciples said when he calmed the waters. Right? Remember the storm? He's in the boat, and Jesus wakes up, and he goes, what are you guys afraid of? And he calms the waters, and his disciples marvel. He says, what kind of man is this? He calms the seas, obey him. Well, that's not in man's nature to do that. He was exhibiting his nature as God when he did that. When he walks up to Nathanael and says, I saw you underneath the tree over there thinking about me. You know, and he goes, wow, you're the Son of God. No man can do that, you see. God does that. When Jesus says, I know the thoughts of man, I can read your thoughts. just because he's intuitive, that's because he was God and could know what they were thinking. You see, when Jesus raises the dead and heals the blind, these are things that men cannot do. It's not in our nature to do these things. God does these things, you see. So you see verses like this. But then you see other verses where it says, and Jesus wept, and he was tired, and so he slept. Well, does God ever sleep? Does God ever get tired? Does God have eyes that tears pour out of? Well, that would be no. God doesn't. He's a spirit, right? God never sleeps. Why would he need to sleep for? Sleep is something that humans do, you see. And so Jesus was both. He was God. He put on human nature like a coat. He put it on. So now he had two. And you can describe him either way. Which is, I'm saying all that to build up to Mark 13:32, where Jesus is describing here prophetically the time when the Lord will return, when he would return and set up his kingdom, right? And in so doing, when he speaks of the future, what is he doing? He's speaking as God. When prophecy is given in the Bible, when someone says, you know, this is going to happen and it comes to pass, this is prophecy, and only God can prophesy. Man can't do that. This is why when you have your psychics and they try to tell you your future, or the, you know, the astrologers try to tell you what your day is going to be like, there's always skepticism about this. And you think, well, it's just a good guess, but they don't really know, right? Only God can see the future. Only God can call the end from the beginning. And so when Jesus says, this is how it's going to be, and I will return, and here's the signs, and here's the events that will happen before I come, he's exhibiting his deity, right? But then when Mark 13:32, he talks about the time of when this is going to happen, you know, the day and the hour. He says, of that day and that hour knows no man, no, not the angels who are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And so when he's talking about the day and the hour of when that shall be, okay, apparently this is something that is not given to man to know. Okay, God has not revealed it. God has not implied it. God has not even given it to Jesus to tell people. Okay? And so Jesus, when he's walking the earth as a human, goes, I was never taught this from anybody, and God the Father hasn't told me to teach this. I don't know it. Okay? He says, the angels don't know it, neither the Son of Man. Right? What he doesn't say is that God doesn't know it. He doesn't say, even God doesn't know the day and the hour. He didn't say that. Okay? Because that would be wrong. Of course, God knows the day and the hour. He says right there, the Father knows the day and the hour. Right? And what do we know about God the Father? Okay, God the Father is God. Who's Jesus? He's God too, right? How many gods are there, by the way? One God, okay? God the Father, God the Son are one. He says that in John chapter 10. Well, God the Father knows, God the Son knows, the Son of God knows. And also the Spirit knows, the three are one. And so when God, the fullness of the Godhead, in body, which is Jesus Christ, he knows the day and the hour. He knows everything that God knows. He's God. Manifest in the flesh, okay? But in his ministry, in his position as the Son of Man, as a human, he doesn't know, okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2 as an example here. He raised a question which, I mean, is a good enough question just because there are lots of people who destroyed the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny his divine attributes because of his human nature. And thus teach Jesus incorrectly. But it really is a theological question and not a Bible study, which is why you don't hear me quoting a lot of verses. Because there's no verse I can quote to you that explains this. You can go home, get your concordance, and gather all the verses that talk about Jesus, read them all, and then try to formulate what that means. And that's what theologians do. Okay, but it is not the topic of the Bible. Does that make sense? So in 1 Corinthians 2:2, here's an example where Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Here's an example where Paul says, when I was among you, I did not know anything with Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, is he talking about Paul and his brain that, you know, he didn't know anything else? He didn't know how to eat, didn't know how to walk, didn't know. Well, no, he's saying that that's what I determined to know. Okay, if you would have asked me about Mark 13:32, Paul would have said, forget it, Christ and him crucified. Right? This is what I know, is all I know, is what you need to know. Right? And I know that Paul wasn't Jesus, and Paul didn't have a divine nature, but this example is given in the sense that when Jesus was sent to the world and put on humanity, it was determined that he preach a certain thing. Okay, if someone came up to Jesus and asked him, hey, I heard maybe there's a mystery coming up, Jesus would never have said it. Okay, he would say, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? Because it was not given to him to preach it. You see, in fact, he said that very thing in Acts 1, verse 6, when Peter asked him, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And what did Jesus say? It's not for you to know. Not for you to know. Be quiet. Right? This is not a question you should be asking. Okay? And so there are things that Jesus said when he said, I do the will of my Father, that he came to do and that he came to say. Okay? And that and telling them the day and the hour was not one. All right? Another example is in Philippians chapter 2, when you see the you're talking about the combination of Jesus' deity and his humanity. Philippians 2 is a good place to go. And again, this is one of the places where other Bibles will, we call it corrupting your Bible. They change the words in your Bible so that it says something different because of what they teach about Jesus' deity. But in Philippians 2, this is where it says, starting in verse 6, it describes Jesus, who being in the form of God, Jesus was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, if you came along to me and said, I'm equal with God, I would say, no, you're not. Right? What's your birthday? Proof number one. Right? How much do you know? Proof number two. Right? How perfect are you? Proof number three. I mean, I could prove 100 different ways you're not God. Right? But Philippians 2, 6, Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If someone asked Jesus, Jesus, are you saying that you're older than Abraham? As they asked him, remember? They said, you're older. And he says, I am. I am the I am. Right? It says, I was around before Abraham. I was around before the world began. So Jesus was saying what? I am God. So Jesus was speaking about this nature. Hey, I'm God. Right? So Philippians 2, 6, he did not think it was robbery. He didn't think it was blaspheming God for him to say, me and the Father are one. Right? I was around before Abraham. I am the I am. But in verse 7, it says, but even though he was God, which he was forever, we've already covered that. He was never not God. He was always God. But he made himself of no reputation, okay, and took upon him the form of a servant. Now, he was in the form of God. He was God, perfectly righteous, holy, glorious, eternal. And he made himself of no reputation, putting on the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And so God put on humanity. John 1 says he put on flesh, right, like he put on a coat or something, okay, and he put on flesh. And so doing that would really lower the bar for God as far as his nature, because his deity nature, his him being God, you can't get much higher than that. You can't get higher than that at all. So when he put on fleshly robes, when he put on humanity, the likeness of men, this was a step down, right? So here he is, he's in a woman's womb, not the proper throne for God, right? But why did he do that, of course? And we learn about why he does that. He does it to save humanity. He does that to save the world, right? And so it says here, he made himself of no reputation, just like, I don't know if you know the story of the Prince and the Pauper. Who is that? Charles Dickens or somebody? Wrote the Prince and the Pauper story, right? Where you have the prince and you have the pauper, and they trade places. You know, and so the prince pretends to be the pauper, and the pauper pretends to be the prince. And they're still the prince and the pauper, but they're in a different position. Okay, and thus everyone treats them that way. So he made himself in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now, if you were to ask the question to God, God, do you ever die? God would have to answer, no, I'm God, I don't die. God, do you ever sin? No, I'm God, I'm righteous. Sin is anything contrary to me, right? And so God never sins. God never lies. Titus 1 verse 2 says God never dies. And so God, in experience, in history, in eternity, never dies. And so when he put on humanity, now suddenly God, in the flesh, has an opportunity to die. You see there? God, who could never die before, as humanity, now can die. So Jesus has a body. God had a body. And you can kill that body because it's human. Right? Humans die. Humans can die. And so that's what he did. He died on the cross. And so this is why you've heard me say before, that Jesus needed to be fully human so that he could die. He'd be fully God so that he can resurrect. Because humans can't raise from the dead, but God lives forever. And so he was both God and man in Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 8 there, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, wherefore God also highly exalted him. So there's the resurrection. And so what's this talking about is Jesus' Godhood and his humanity being in one and how they relate to each other, okay, and why that is. And so you see that God never ceases to be God. And now that he's put on humanity, he never ceases to be human either. You know, even though you can point to a year in history where he put on humanity. You can't point to a year where he started being God. Okay? If you can't point to a year where he started being God, it means he always was God. He can never not be God. You understand? You can't. If I asked you as a human, which you've always been a human since you've been born, you haven't morphed into a butterfly or anything else, you've always been a human. And if I asked you, stop being human for a while. In fact, you know, would you be so willing to give up your human attributes just for a week or so? Right? Could you even do that? And you would say, I can't stop being human. That's just what I am. You know, I can do different things. I can act like a dog, but I wouldn't be a dog. I can act like a rock, but I wouldn't be a rock. I can't stop being human. That's what I am, right? God can't stop being God either. And so when he put on humanity, he did not stop being God. He was God the whole time, okay? He added to himself a human nature. His human nature was born. His God nature was not born. And it didn't die either. Okay, and so this will help, I think, with some of the problems, and maybe some of you, like, I never asked these questions before, this is over my head, and I don't even think about some of these things. But there are people who think about these things, and they use these questions, the verses like Mark 13, to deny Jesus being God, or that he stopped being God, or that he laid aside his God attributes. That for a moment, Jesus did not know everything, right? Well, he did know everything as God. If he didn't know anything, he didn't know it as a man, but he always knew everything as God, which means Jesus knew it, right? Because Jesus is both God and man, you see. And so it's the same thing. Any questions? Any supplemental material to that? Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah, if Jesus ever stopped being God, then all you have is a man on a cross. And we have plenty of men on crosses, even in 2014, over there in Syria when ISIS is crucifying people. Innocently. They were innocent of the charges, and they died on the cross. So does that mean anything for you for salvation? Answer, no. It's only that God was in Jesus Christ who died on the cross, that his death could be acceptable to God because he was God. He did it willingly. Jesus stepped on the cross willingly. He didn't have to go there. And that he was God makes it acceptable for salvation. So, yeah. Yep, and there'd be no resurrection. Yeah, if he died on the cross and if he wasn't God, then how in the world did he resurrect from the dead? He'd just be a man that God helped out, just like you. I mean, you don't resurrect on your own power. You resurrect from God's power, right? If Jesus wasn't God, he had the same help from God. So how could you say, I resurrect because Christ did? Well, no. In that case, you would resurrect, I don't know why. Does God like you as much as he did Jesus? You see the problem. But if Jesus was God and he resurrected, as a man, he can be up there as the judge and go, you know what? I'm a man. They're men. You know, that's mankind. I'm saving them. Right? God can have nothing to do with sinful humanity. But God as a man is humanity. You see, so he saves it. And so Jesus Christ is God's obligation to save the world. Yeah. Well, talking about Jesus' resurrected body, understand, we're talking about Jesus having two natures. God always existed, right? And so Jesus is God. He always existed, right? There was a point in time when Jesus put on human nature, and thus God put on humanity. He didn't change into humanity. He was always God. He's still God. He put on human nature. So Jesus had a human body. This human body he had was made in the likeness of men, likeness of sinful Adam. He didn't have sin. He wasn't made in Adam's line. You know, he didn't have an earthly father. But he had a human body. That human body could die, and thus he dies. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, he was still human. And this is the part that makes your resurrection possible. It's not that he stopped being human after he died, and he resurrected, look, I'm only God again. No, he's still human. And humans, Paul says, get another body, a resurrected body, a glorified body. And so God takes this human flesh that's corruptible and puts on an incorruptible flesh, you see. And that's what Jesus had. And so Jesus, even today, is human, incorruptible, resurrected in glory with a celestial body, okay? Which is why you and I have hope. because we also were like Jesus in that we have a body that can die on a cross or die anyway. And so we have a hope now that we can have this incorruptible body, this immortal body, because Jesus has one. And so this is the pattern. So Jesus, even today, doesn't cease to be human. He's still human. It's just he's in a resurrected state. We're not resurrected, so we don't sympathize with that condition. But everyone who's dead now in Christ are with Jesus and like Jesus in a resurrected body. You know, they're humans in that sense. So, Jesus doesn't stop being human even today. And so if when we go to heaven or when we see the Lord return, I mean, he'll return to the earth in a body. He'll be a resurrected, glorifying body. And when we go to heaven, we'll see Jesus Christ as a body. And so it's not that we put off a body and we become like some spirit, you know, ghost or something like this. There are people who die and resurrect in bodies that are able to live in places not in this earth and are able to last forever. This is an immortal, resurrected, glorified body. Is that? Before he put on humanity? Yeah. So before Jesus put on humanity, what was God? Did he have a human body? The answer would be no. He didn't have a human body. Now, he took the appearance of a man. You'll see in the Old Testament lots of times, one time in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's a fourth guy, like the Son of God. He looked like a body in there. And Daniel said he looked like the Son of God. So he manifested himself like a body. It was visible, but it wasn't really a body. And in fact, you never see those bodies stick around. I mean, they just kind of disappear, and they're gone. And so apparently, spirit beings of the sort God is, apparently in the Bible, can take a form or can look like bodies. You know, you see in Hebrews 13 where it talks about entertaining angels. Right? Angels aren't human, right? Right? But it says that apparently you can't distinguish between a human and an angel as far as the way they look. It says, you know, so Hebrews 13 talks about entertaining angels because if you're entertaining them, you don't know what you can't distinguish. In the Old Testament, angels would walk up to Abraham, and it listed in the Bible, and you know, some angels of the Lord came, and they looked like people, right? They weren't humans. They were angels. I mean, apparently, they served God in heaven, and they did angelic things, but they came down to the earth, and here they are walking up to Abraham going, hey, let's have dinner. It's a strange thing. And so apparently spirit beings can do that. You know, this is hard for us to explain unless the Bible tells us. We can't fly around in heaven. I can't do that right now. All I can do is drive to Walmart. You know, that's all I can do. But in my new body, apparently maybe I'll have the means to do this. So does that help? So before his incarnation, Jesus was God. God was a spirit. And so he could have manifested himself as a person to people. There's times where he doesn't. There's times where all people see is a light, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. I mean, Ezekiel saw this brilliant throne. Isaiah was in heaven in the train. That means the robe of the Lord filled the whole temple. And so there's times where God appears huge, you know, where he's so bright. And that's nothing like a human. You know, we don't radiate glory like that, you know. But human eyes got to see something. And so God manifests himself that way. Oh, in the Old Testament? Well, that's a good question. And this will go another 20 minutes. But no, it's a good question, though. you know, who was back in the Old Testament when the prophets saw God? Who was it? And you can do your own study on it, a good guess would be it could have been Jesus. Okay? The reason why is because you see places in the Bible, like Jesus said, no man has ever seen the Father. Right? Well, I can find verses in the Old Testament where Isaiah is looking at some guy sitting on a throne. Who's that? Right? Or what about in Colossians 1:16 where it says Jesus created all things? In the beginning was God, and you know, who's back there creating those things? Well, Jesus. Or Isaiah 49, it says God is speaking. He says, I am God, the only Savior. There is none. No other Savior but me. Well, who's the Savior? Jesus Christ, right? Or in you know, Daniel, I told you a story about the fourth guy in the fire. You know, Daniel writes that it looks like the Son of God. Well, who's the Son of God? We call that Jesus now. We say Jesus. So it could have been that Jesus, just as he is today, Jesus, if you're going to see God, you're going to see Jesus. Right? Jesus even says that to Thomas. He says, if you see me, you see the Father. Right? And what he's saying there is me and the Father are one. So it could be that nobody can see God the Father because he's God. God the Father is the person that is God, but manifest in the flesh or the visible part of Jesus. At Colossians 1, it says Jesus is the image of God. The image of God. When we talk about the image of God, what is that? Oh, it's a picture, right? It's your face. It's, if I'm looking at your image, I'm looking at what you look like. And Jesus is the image of God. So what he did is put on human flesh so that he can be human like us to die for our sins. But apparently in the Old Testament, when they saw, people saw God, it could have been Jesus back there, the image of God. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't see God the Father because Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he's the image of God. Does that make sense? And so, again, we serve one God. You don't get up to heaven and see three gods on three thrones. You know, there's one God, and when you see him, you see Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. I can go on for a long time about that because it's a really good question. But these are the verses that I quote a few verses to you that hopefully help you out about Jesus being the image of God. And so before he put on humanity, when they saw him, they were probably looking at Jesus, not knowing that it was Jesus. They called him God, which is who Jesus is. You know, so.